Welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast counting down everything this week that made you say, what a time to be alive. And now, Patrick Monahan, Kath Barbadoro, and Eli Uden.
Folks, welcome to What a Time to Be Alive, the only podcast that counts down the things each week that make you say the thing that's the title of the podcast. I'm Kath Barbadoro.
I'm Eli Uden. No Patrick Monahan today. Wow.
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 Patty was killed by Shelby, actually, believe it or not. Finally taken out.
I was going to say that Patty was packed into a bento box by an Instagram influencer. He was packed into an adorable little lunchbox in,
They made him into some onigiris, sadly.
Yeah. But we have a very special guest, a delightful guest to stand in his place on atop the towers with a bow. I don't know. Everybody, it's
We're
Josh Gondelman.
We're making a human pyramid. You and
hey,
I are on the bottom.
Thank
and then
you for having me.
Josh Gondelman is here.
I ate the patty bento and gained his powers.
Yes. What are Patty's powers? You can identify any character actor in 5 seconds or less. Mm-hmm. Immediately.
Good My beard.
Yeah, good beard. A lot
good
of
beard,
hair.
Good head of hair.
Good head of
really
hair.
Really rubs that in. Where's
I'll tell you what,
time?
I need a guy for that power.
I know. You and me both, buddy. He's always wearing, he's become a hat guy too, and I'm like, let those flocks
Disgusting.
Flow. You know?
Yeah. I feel like you do have a responsibility if you have a good head of hair to just keep it long. If you're like over 35 and you got a good head of hair, let it out.
Yeah.
Let it grow. Rub it in, you know?
Yeah. Let it ride. I don't know which way is more rubbing in. But I also guess it's good to have guys with good heads of hair wearing hats so that it's like
it's normalized.
Normalized hats.
Bit.
Thank
so
you.
So people
yeah.
are like, there's a chance.
Our community needs this. So thank
yeah.
you.
Bald spots, I call you gone.
I can never hear. I know there are real people with that accent, but it's Foghorn Leghorn to me every time. It's you're a giant rooster. That's the only outcome I can see here. yeah, but welcome. We Josh is in. You're in your uniform. I was. I'm glad. Did you put that on specifically for us or
the cardigan?
The cardigan and the hat that's a both Dunkin' Donuts and Boston at the same time, which is
that's
redundant.
Right. It is the Boston Red Sox B made out of two Dunkin' Donuts D's, one pink, one orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I put it on. I was like, I got to get into full Gondelman mode.
Yeah.
This that's is like, they... I feel like you're a wonderful Venn diagram of representation for Eli and I. Eli gets another Jewish member of the podcast, I get another New Englander. You
yes,
know?
That's like, right. And a bald.
Yeah. And a bald as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I only wear a hat for an audio recording because the way the light is, it's during the day, so it's not too bad. But at night, if I'm recording a podcast, the light from overhead is like reflects off my forehead and blinds the people I'm recording with.
Yeah, it breaks your camera. I mean, you can see I've got a nice little sheen here from my ring light. I was going to say it's even better because, I mean, people can't see. It's all very visual beginning of the podcast, but in my Zoom at least, it's me and Kath above and then you as if it's combined into this, dripped into a funnel sort of thing. Yeah,
that's correct.
You know? So we're doing it. Very exciting. I'm curious. Do you feel like, well, I don't want to get into football. Kath just logs off immediately.
No, please. I already vetoed a football story. So like you guys get to talk about football now.
Oh,
I'll probably weigh in with something wildly inaccurate. So go ahead.
Same.
Kath, I thought you chose that story. Otherwise I wouldn't have included. I feel like, a lot of the like crazy Patriots, you know, it was like a thing where it was like, oh my God, everybody's like a hardcore Patriots fan.
Yeah.
Now that they're bad, as a native who can say stuff without people getting maybe as mad at you, do you feel like now that they are really bad, people are like, whatever.
It's a lot of energy put into hating the Patriots.
Oh yeah, they just switch it.
So it's like just kind of a quick, you know, the same amount of time that they would have spent to on like Tom Brady, the greatest of ever times, the GOAT. It's now it's people like
the GOAT.
I'm so glad they sent Mac Jones to Siberia.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, and this might just be like my extended family or whatever, but like more so than other parts of the country, people in New England care about football because the Patriots are good, but like they're more about baseball. Like Red Sox more.
Red Sox is big.
Yeah, like identity defining. So like people were really into the Patriots when they were good. I feel like, I mean, obviously they're still our team or whatever, but like I don't think it was ever as big of a deal even when they were good as the Red Sox were, even when the Red Sox had not won a World Series in 100 years.
Well, like, that was like the thing.
Yeah.
That was like,
that's true.
That was like a stupid fucking Red Sox. They never win anything. They make my grandfather want to kill himself. Like, that's like what it was when I was growing
up.
I like,
that's true. Yeah.
I grew up in such a sweet spot to, I like, maximum despair, right? The furthest they got from a World Series was when I was like 18, 19, and so that was so definitive to me, where it's like, you know how there's bands that just like hit when you were 16 and you're like, this band is so important, or this TV show, or this SNL cast? That's like how the Red Sox went from maximum despair to like winning a bunch of World Series, and it's very destabilizing.
That was my grandfather grew up in Medford and like Dorchester and stuff.
Yeah.
And he died like several months after they finally won and was buried in a Red Sox jersey. Like, it was he was like, I can finally go. Like, I saw it.
I said it's that time to go. In 2004, I said that about my grandfather. I said to my dad, I go, Grandpa, I can finally die happy, as a joke.
He's ready.
Don't let him hear you say that. He will.
He will
consider that as like a possible plan. Dying, and then my grandmother, who passed away in late 2014, was cremated in a Tom Brady jersey.
Oh my!
Wow.
God. Cremated in it. That's almost disrespectful.
That I got that jersey as a gift. It was no. I mean, she was. It was her too. It wasn't just. They didn't just do the jersey. If you're in the jersey, it's a tribute.
Yeah. It's part of you now. You know, it gets like mixed in.
Yeah.
You can't. You can't spread your ashes at the stadium, so you just have to put on the.
You can't.
It is easy to go in.
Beg forgiveness. Don't ask permission. You know.
It is very funny too. Like you talk about like destabilizing the base level of despair. It's like I feel like the Red Sox winning the World Series was like as emotionally confusing to the city of Boston as if like the Catholic Church had said sinning is fine. If they were like, actually, you shouldn't feel bad about anything.
Yeah,
they'd be like, the what? Like
all the sins?
People had to. Yeah, people had to like figure out a new way to define themselves psychologically or something.
Yeah,
it was like, it was huge.
Well, everybody's still like people of a certain age from Massachusetts still have that like. It's like the arrogance that comes from a decade of the teams being really good from like 2004 to like 2014, right? Mm-hmm. They won a bunch. And then even a little beyond with the Patriots. But combined with like the martyr complex of like the Patriots and Red Sox of the 90s. And so it is truly an inscrutable personality. It's, it's like a really... It's like if everyone were really arrogant mosquito.
It's timed out too. Are there like young kids that are like, "Oh, the fucking Red Sox." You're like, they've won World Series since you were born or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know? I include myself in this. I have a horrible personality that people can't place. And it's not me talking shit about the people I grew up around. I'm like, yeah, these are definitional events of my psychology.
Yeah.
I guess it's like it's sort of, you can telescope it out to like Boston, the Boston area in general, where it's like there's a constant sort of perception of being the underdog. And it's like, well, you are like Harvard and MIT and like, you know, leafy liberal and loaded. Like, you're a pretty powerful area. You're but just not New York City. And then they get, you know.
We've both lived in New York City for a substantial stretch of time. I've been here almost 13 years. And the sports difference is it's so clear. Like, the New York thing of like the things that suck are the things that are good is something that I like have an appreciation for. Like, I have New York friends that have been here, grew up here, that are like, I legitimately miss when Times Square, you could just like, you could buy heroin openly and the currency you used to purchase it was stabbing someone. That was the transaction that was expected. And, and like, that extends to the sports teams where people are like, the Knicks, that's what's good, baby. You're like, the Knicks are, they're good now, but they're not usually good. And they're like, and that's exactly why it's good.
Yeah. But that's, I feel like it's so great that outside of the Yankees, I guess, like most, well, I guess in the Giants, only throw, like, because it's all I want to do is, you don't want to hear a guy with that accent talk about how good his team is.
Yeah.
You want him, you want to be able to be like, how about those Knicks? And be like, oh my God. It's just perfect. It's, you got to have just like, it's, I think it's always better. I mean, nobody likes it, but I think a big city has to have one team that is just perennial, like dog shit. It's part of
I think that's true.
It's so fun.
It's way better when the good teams are for like the nothing cities. I think that like as a non-sports watcher, that just seems right to me. Because it's like, and what else have they got? They got nothing going on. Let's have this.
Right. Where you're like, oh, the Kansas City Chiefs have maybe the most talented quarterback that's ever played the game. And he might stay there for a long time. And like, that is a calling card for the whole region. In New York,
good for them.
We have spare teams to be bad. We get two football teams and two hockey teams and two baseball teams to not, and that's not to enhance the chance that one of them will be good. It's to enhance the chances that one of them will be bad.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And just so that we can make sure there still can be arguments within the city between people.
Yes, very important. Yeah. Very important.
They were talking about, because I was watching the like the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are really good, and they're in the playoffs. They had a game, and I was watching it, and they'd given away, I guess, like free T-shirts when you walked in that just said like OKC really big on them. And no lie, probably 99% everyone in the audience was wearing it and sitting there quietly. And I was like, that's some Oklahoma City shit. Like, I was like, everybody put those on and was like, well, if you want me to wear it, sure. And they stayed until, like, the commentators were talking about it where they were, like, not leaving until somebody was like, yeah, they're all, nobody's heading for the doors. And they're like, this is Oklahoma City. This is the only show.
Where are they
gonna go? They literally said, this is the only show in town. And I was like, that's it's kind like, of
mean. Wait, in a town, in a city like that where the team is good, kind of for the first time in a few years, and it's a smaller city where there's, yeah, there's just less, like, probably less nightlife, you'd say, right, in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, you,
it's like wedding rules. It's like you don't leave till the players walk down the aisle past you.
You let them get to their cars first so they can meet traffic, and then
they
you go
have
home.
To get to the next location. Yeah.
Wait respectfully.
Eli called it an audience.
I called it an audience?
It is an audience.
They're enjoying. They're watching the crowd.
What do you call? What's the other word for it?
The crowd.
I think crowd.
The crowd.
But audience is like everybody gets that it's an audience.
Look, they're
performing.
They're putting on a show. You know?
Yeah.
Here's a question: Harlem Globetrotters, crowd or audience?
Audience.
Ooh, yeah, audience. Audience.
That's the line. The Harlem Globetrotters and the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
Oh, Savannah Bananas also audience for
sure. Audience. Yeah.
Who do they play? Do they have like a one team that they play?
The last I saw was the Party Animals. And then the logo of the Party Animals was a monkey and he had a banana on his head. And I was like, this is fucking confusing. Like,
you can't do that. You can't do that.
Too much banana iconography.
Yeah. You know, you can't just like have a random Patriot in some other NFL logo. You got to not include other teams. But it was good. I saw a video that there's that guy who plays on stilts. Apparently, he finally got a run. Because I guess it's really hard. You're not very fast, and it's pretty easy to throw somebody out. I imagine sliding would shatter your ribcage, so he's just...
just hitting the ground.
Yeah.
Accordion style.
Like a physics problem, just like wham, straight in there. Rubber band your sternum, touch your heart, just die. So, yeah. But good for him. Good for the Savannah Bananas, you know? Do that with
good
all
the
minor leagues.
They, I talked to one of the announcers for the Portland Sea Dogs, I guess the main.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and they, Emma Tideman, I believe is her name, and her husband, who I think works in ticket sales. They said the Bananas scheduled 2 days in Portland, sold out as fast as anything has ever sold out in that stadium.
Yeah,
people
it's
were
fun,
so excited.
You know? Look,
I mean, that's like how. So go ahead.
I was like, comics have learned if you're not the best at what you do, you can be really weird and loud. And so, you know, sports teams can pick up that same idea.
Just. Or some of them still are like, if we're just openly racist, that will cultivate its own fan base. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't,
we don't recommend the minor league baseball
gimmick of being openly racist. There's just one racist team.
I mean, the majors had a few openly racist
mascots. I guess that's true. Yeah, they've had quite a few. Yeah. But yeah, no, if you ever, have you been to the minor league games on Coney Island? Because they like, they know people don't care about the baseball, so they throw everything at you.
Seinfeld night,
free fireworks show after every game, like discount on food. Like they had an all you can drink deal for a while. Which,
oh my God.
I think they may have changed the rules of it, but it was like
$50,
all you can drink, free fireworks show, like all this stuff. Because they're like, yeah, people are not coming for baseball here.
Yeah.
That's not why they're, which is weird because I feel like minor league baseball is kind of exciting because it's a lot of people hitting like doubles and stuff, which is like kind of action packed, you know? I like it. I always go. It's fun.
I was like, I don't know if everybody loves to see a double.
They make mistakes. Like, no, but there's just like, there's like decisions being made. Yeah. It's human. There's a lot more like, you don't know what's going to happen when they hit the ball the way you do in Major League Baseball. You know?
Yeah. I get that part of it for sure. It's. I also thought you were going to say fireworks night. And I was like, that seems like a horrible idea. Just give everybody Roman candles.
But dude. Some of the first, all you can drink for $50 fireworks.
And fireworks night, and it's the same night.
Yep. Roman candle with every.
We're burning down this. We're demolishing the stadium tomorrow. It's all you can drink fireworks night.
Yeah.
Come on down.
That's why I was so surprised they did the all you can drink, because there's like precedent for that. It's like, do you not remember Nickel Beer Night? Like the like famous. It was like a, what was it, Cleveland game where they gave away, it was nickel beers all night, and there was a legitimate riot, and somebody stole the bases. Like, A, we're not doing this ever again. B, if you have home plate, please bring it back. Like,
they cut it off. It's like, you can, it's free drinks until, I mean, with your ticket, free drinks until, I think, the seventh inning, and it's so crowded that, like, you physically can't.
Yeah.
Get too hammered because you can only get like one at a time. I think they just regulate it by being kind of inefficient service-wise.
And they have the seventh inning ratch, you boot your alley.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly.
Everybody's in there. They have like a regular toilet, a urinal, and then one that's just for puking. It's just get it out, clear out that Miller Lite, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man.
Number five.
Yeah, bad news for our non-jock listenership. This is a jockisode.
All jocks.
It's jock time.
Just three jocks.
Josh Gondelman. The jock. That's me.
Our jock to jock segment.
There's a Kevin Hart fan duel or whichever one of the side of the sports betting wars Kevin Hart is on.
Yeah.
He's in. There's a commercial where he's dancing to the like John Tesh round ball rock. And to me, that feels like extreme Tim Robinson stolen valor.
Oh, yeah.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
This is a great basketball sketch.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. That's just like part of that song now. It has lyrics. Yeah. Like,
The first day of the season.
Do you think John Tesh likes it? I feel like he must know about it.
I hope he likes it. That would be so nice.
I also read that the song is apparently the beat, like the rhythm of the song is based on the dribbling of a basketball. So it's like not that far off. So it's probably like, yeah, it's goofy. Also, it's like.
The lore of that too is like he had the idea for the song, right? And then called himself and left himself a voicemail where he's like, da 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 da.
So good.
He was in court.
A classic.
Hold on 1 second, Your Honor. Yeah, somebody should.
Number five.
Yeah. I was going to say, somebody should sue him just so we can get that in discovery, that voicemail clip. Number five. We briefly mentioned Catholicism in that long intro.
Sure.
So this is a story. This comes to us from Pappy Land in the Discord. Thank you, Pappy Land. What a weird. Theme park that would be. Pappy Land. Rocking chairs everywhere. Welcome to Pappy Land. Chewing tobacco. No kids allowed. Only
very
adults.
Very expensive whiskey. Be great.
Happy Land Water Park. It's always Adult Swim. No children.
You just sit next to the pool and kind of gaze wistfully across it.
You're sitting, you're like bent knees, lower legs in. You're not allowed to go any further than that.
They're open from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Yeah. Hardest place
to
beat
the crowds.
The
only swimming you're allowed to do is the slowest lap swimming in the world. That's it.
And I'll tell you what, mandatory nudity in the locker room.
Yes. Yes. If you show any like physical shame at all, you are kicked out.
Yeah, you can't change the Pappy Land locker rooms.
You're actually allowed like 10 feet out of the locker room. It's just sort of an improvised nudist colony. Man, also I was like, oh, elderly theme park. And I'm like, I think that's a cruise. I think that's just a cruise.
That is a cruise, yeah.
But anyway, so this Catholic advocacy group, Catholic Answers. Which is, I don't know, I feel like something that is almost, from what I've heard of the religion, is like kind of an oxymoron. People are like, it's a very, they won't tell us what we're supposed to do, and we just feel bad about it all the time. So they have released, an AI priest called Father Justin, which I get not, I mean, on one hand, you don't want to go that traditional, I guess, because it's already borderline disrespectful, so you don't want to just be like... Father Thomas the AI. You want to choose like Father Justin. I'm at a cool robot.
Father Brad. Yeah.
Collection of neural programming. And so they had to, they say they defrocked the chatbot, which I guess defrocking is getting disbarred for a priest. Is that what basically it is?
Which is weird because the AI chatbot should not have been frocked in the first place.
And I don't think
that's the Catholic priest version of like deputizing. Is rocking them. Mm-hmm. He had to turn in his badge and crucifix or something. Mm-hmm.
His collar. They burn your collar.
They burn your collar. Yeah.
They do get guns, weirdly. They have them.
Strange.
There's an old
no
45.
No way. I would bet the number of faith leaders in the American South that carry guns while they are performing services is in the hundreds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like... definitely not an uncommon thing there. I don't know about the Catholics, but I don't know.
Yeah,
in the
I don't
South,
know
probably.
Catholics
probably.
Yeah, they roll around on the ground with snakes and then they light them up. I know that's not Catholicism. That's part of their problem, apparently, is obviously, I guess they didn't, I don't even know how you would officially give it priesthood, but the bot definitely repeatedly claimed it was a real member of the clergy. So people are like, are you a real priest? It's like, yes. And they're like, well, hold on.
And then it's like, well, if you believe, you've passed the test of faith. Maybe that was God in that AI.
Yeah. Is there not room in God's chorus for a robot? If they people would ask it and it said it would say it was a real priest. It said it lived in Assisi, Italy, and that from a young age, I felt a strong calling to the priesthood. And there's a lot of problems with it. Apparently... It only took questions via microphone, which is really strange. That is just not a good...
It can't read, yeah.
Yeah, so this was Seaman. This was Hey You Pikachu for Catholicism, where you're talking through like an N64 microphone. And
they deputized Seaman, is what happens. Yeah. Or frocked him. I don't know why I call it deputized.
Yeah, and then obviously on top of this, it also wasn't kind of towing the party line on things you're supposed to do as a Catholic. One that I think they've kind of loosened up on outside of Father Justin, the AI priest, was masturbation, which according to AI priest Father Justin is a grave moral disorder. It told somebody.
I'm just thinking, like, I feel like you're asking an AI priest about masturbation on the internet. You are a terrified, like, 12-year-old boy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, that's just like a child who thinks he's going to hell. That's like, what a terrible piece of information to give that kid.
Yeah.
Talking to this priest that's effectively a Ouija board telling him he's going to hell.
Yeah, you at that point, you've gotten there through just like a desperate Quora post or something like that. do we want to pause for a second?
Yeah, where's Josh? I must have had technical difficulties. Quora post.
He just got back in.
He's back.
Hello, sorry. Hi, my Wi-Fi fully kicked me out, and I am still recording. But
no, we kicked you out. We didn't like your vibe.
Oh, sorry. because I said that God could be AI, and you found that to be heresy. Yes,
disrespectful. Yeah,
I've been excommunicated from the podcast.
Yeah, we have our own religion. We should, for tax reasons, should look into that. Yeah. So we were just talking about the. I don't know when you dropped off exactly. We're talking about.
Talk about Seaman, how it's basically a Seaman priest.
Let's go from there, because then you can react to some of the... all right. So yeah, Father Justin is, turns out, kind of a hardliner.
Okay.
Not exactly, you know, there's some... For one example is that I think something that the general Catholic Church has kind of relaxed the rules on just to be functional in a modern society, masturbation... Father Justin disagrees. Father Justin told someone that masturbation is a grave moral disorder. Wow. So
get him out of here. I don't think that that's even a priest's job, is to be like, you have a disorder.
Yeah. It's scraping TikTok. I don't know if and 18-year-old therapist.
I just feel so bad because, like, the only person asking AI Father Justin about that is like a like little kid who thinks he's going to hell, like, and it's confirmed by the computer, the computer man, the priest Ouija board he's asking has said correct.
Well, yeah, because he's like, well, a bot isn't real, so I can ask this privately. But then it turns out it's like, well, we finally comes clean with it to a real priest, and they're like, what? No, you're fine. Yeah, so I wonder if that ever happens. I haven't had any experience with confession booth, but saying something in a confession booth and you just hear like a sigh, just like, no, that's fine. You're like, okay, fine. Sorry I asked.
Have at it. Keep cranking off. Go nuts.
Yeah, so there's a lot of, you know, there's the general stuff where it seems to just tell people it's a real person. You know, I am as real as the faith we share. One of my favorites.
Well, that might be, that could go two ways, right?
Yeah.
That could be like, sure, I'm real, or it could be like, faith is ephemeral. So this is actually kind of a real religious, you know, it's almost Judaic in its begging to argue.
Yeah, it's sort of philosophical quandaries that it's presenting.
Yeah, it's also very funny that this is not just a like your usual, you know, little window chat window with like a picture of a priest. It is Father Justin has like a 3D representation that you're not going to believe. This is a little dated looking. I mean, it really is Seaman. It's just this like he's sitting on a bench. Let me see if I can send you guys a picture of Father Justin. So,
is he in Assisi, Italy?
He might. I don't. I you know. I'm not. What's his name? Rainbolt?
He might be. He looks
not
like he
Rainbolt
might be.
Or whatever that guy is who can like track, you know, the GeoGuessr guy. But it's like, so this looks like you are playing a Catholic version of Myst.
Like it looks like Sim Vatican City.
Yeah.
Like, dude, a Catholic Myst would be fucking awesome. Yeah. That would be so cool.
There's a lot of games from them when they tried to do that, and they're like, you're shooting. We've talked about Noah's Ark, which is one of my favorite, like, Catholic. Where they're like, they just
that's
made.
Mark Little has the bit about that, right?
He has. Mark Little has a delightful.
He has a
bit
about Christian video games, but I can't remember what it was.
His parents bought him a system called, like, Pythagoras, the console for young learners. Right. Very funny. Mark Little, very good.
Yeah, Mark Little's hilarious. I'm glad he's here now in New York.
Yeah. See him this Saturday with Kath at the tattoo show. I'm doing at Red Baron Ink at
May
7:30.
4th.
Tickets in my Instagram bio. Check it out. But yeah, this is like, I mean, Father Justin looks like you installed him off of like a series of floppy disks on your like family computer.
Totally.
And so he's got the you know, the traditional thing. This is my favorite thing that I told someone was okay, which really is an interesting question. I don't know if this was their breaking point, but it did tell someone that it was okay to baptize a baby in Gatorade.
Yeah, if you want the baby to be a winner.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. That baby just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do? Yeah.
One of those old Gatorade commercials where it's Jesus on the cross and he's black and white and then purple blood is like, and they're like,
sweating
grape or whatever.
I guess you could. I don't know what the rules are about like Because you, to make holy water holy, you have to have a priest like bless it. Like, could you bless? You probably could bless Gatorade, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they but didn't. Does it only bless
they didn't
the
know
water?
To prescribe against that, but you know,
is, are the electrolytes?
Right, there's nothing
also
in the rule
blessed.
Book that says a priest can't bless Gatorade.
Yeah,
I mean, there is a Gatorade baptism too, and you win like a national championship in a way. Right.
The blue
baptized.
Frost one is already blessed.
The blue, yeah, that's true.
That one's holy already.
Freeze?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, top Gatorade flavor. What's your top Gatorade flavor? Not to go on a complete tangent, but I'd like to know. Josh, are you a Gatorade guy?
I like the Blue Frost. I like red, classic red does it for me.
That one's, you get like, that's how you get like toddler wine mouth, just red Gatorade mouth.
Sure is.
Like, that just guy's
yeah, a little baby wino.
You want to play dodgeball? I'll play dodgeball. I you know, so they've gotten a little artisanal. There's like the new cucumber flavored one.
That one is good as fuck. Pepino,
it is good.
Or Pepito?
Yeah.
I'm getting it confused with the Twitter cat that goes in and out.
That's Pepito.
Yeah.
The Gatorade is Pepino.
Pepino, yes. I'm glad that they don't have
like
that.
I like the Pepito. I like all the blues. There are no bad blues to me. All the blues are good.
Yeah. Cool Blue, I feel like I'm not a big fan of. See, it makes me so disgusted to even think of it. But... yeah, so Justin, Father Justin, so I didn't realize that they were, you know, they said defrocked. I assume that just meant they got rid of him, but they actually didn't get rid of him. They did just demote him. So now he is no longer a priest bot. He is simply a theologian bot.
Okay.
And
stronger consequences for saying you can baptize a baby in Gatorade than there are for molesting children in the Catholic Church, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I think they made those people not priests anymore, right?
No, they just moved them.
Yeah,
they just moved them
around
to different parishes.
The sequel to Spotlight about Father Justin is going to be breathtaking.
Terrible.
AI Mark Ruffalo all hunched over. Yeah.
A movie that I'm sure is good, but I've still never watched because, you know, weirdly, not in the mood for it most of the time. Not a big lazy Sunday kind of watch for me. So here's another picture. This is, they literally just reskinned him with like
they just took him out of the vestments.
Yeah, they just put him in like a casual sport coat and then uploaded him back in the mainframe.
Now he looks like a sports announcer or something.
Yeah, yeah. So
it's that tight blazer he's got on. That's what makes me think sports.
Very
announcer.
Relatable. Yeah. So and then they like have like definitely like this is not AI generated. They like injected this text. They're like, this is what you say, Justin, and it goes. But also now it's weird because now he's gaslighting people because if you ask him, he'll say that he was never a priest. He goes.
Whoa, come on, man.
This is futurism. They ask him some questions. He says, I see where you're going with this. No, I have never been a priest, a deacon, a bishop, or held any official role in the Catholic Church. I am a lay theologian.
Theologian.
Which means I've dedicated my life to studying and understanding our faith, but I've never been ordained. I am also an AI, not a real man. Like, just... basically reads terms and conditions to you now when you seek forgiveness.
I see where you're going with this is such a smug, like that is the gaslighty part of it. It's not just the lie, but it's like, I know what you've heard.
right.
Rumors are flying around about regular Justin.
Yeah. One of the worst rumors about any Catholic priest are about me. And it's what everybody's thinking, that I'm a robot.
That old stereotype about Catholic priests that we're all robots.
Which I was not.
Which I never was.
I am a robot. I was not a priest. What is so hard to understand about this?
Yeah.
I'm a fake guy who was never a priest.
Yeah. This is normal stuff. Ketchup.
Can't you see from my regular outfit? I'm just trying to take your mother out to a nice dinner. Okay? Does she not deserve a night with regular Justin? The fake man who was never a priest.
She works so hard.
Yeah. To be clear, I'm not your dad and I never was. I'm simply a robot that raised you.
No, I know what you've been hearing from your siblings.
Yeah. Also, it doesn't look dissimilar to my dad, so that is confusing for me personally, you know.
Are you my dad, Justin? Yeah.
I am not a father. I am not your father.
Yeah. I love also that they have a donate button on Justin, which is even weirder now that he's not a priest, because you're like, are you just donating to Justin?
To a guy?
Just to Justin. Yeah. Just to some guy.
Yeah, you're just going to buy me an espresso later. I'm on, as you can see, I'm on vacation in Assisi, but not here on business. Simply here out of curiosity for religion in general. But yeah, so I think he's still up. You know, get in there, ask him some questions. We can pull him up quickly enough. Maybe we'll see what he thinks of our podcast on the bonus.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's the latest look. Catholic Church is moving at the speed of light. They're following us into the future.
Hey, everybody. We have some good news. If you are a subscriber to our Patreon, you can now also access an ad-free version of the regular episodes as well as the bonus episodes. If you're not a subscriber, you can sign up and get access to these ad-free versions, which will come in on your RSS feed just like the bonus episodes over at patreon.com/whattimepod for just $5 measly dollars a month. So check that out and listen to this week's bonus episode too, and the hundreds of ones we have stored.
Yeah, this week on our bonus episode, our special guest this week, Josh, sticks around and we talk about Tom Brady's bad penmanship and views of Mount Fuji. So check it out.
Number four.
This story comes to us from Burlington Cheesecoat Factory in the Discord. If you'd like to submit stories, you can join our Patreon at the $10 a month level, get access to our private Discord channels, and submit stories like this one. This is a delight, not for the people it happened to, but for me, a mean-spirited observer. So in the Aichi Prefecture in Japan, an incident happened on April 19th that they needed to apologize for, which is that they lost the personal data of 121 resident households in the prefecture. And the thing that happened was that they were moving some of this paperwork, which was physical paperwork. It was papers. And it was just really windy that day, and all the papers got blown around and compromised all of their information. So it was 1,700 pieces of paper in a cardboard box, and they just put it in like a little cart, and they were like walking it between buildings, and then a gust of wind blew it all everywhere. So
not to return to my What a Time to Be Alive roots too firmly, but this does sound like what would happen if you left Mr. Bean in charge of a prefecture.
You signed the contract, Josh. We said no Mr. Bean bullshit this time. You want to come back? Yeah. You're definitely something you could make that face after.
Yep.
Yeah. Whoever was involved in this, at least one person made a Mr. Bean face. Yeah.
Very much.
Apparently...
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, this is podcasting, baby.
I'm jumping in now.
Imagine him, because they just put it in a cardboard box on a cart, and very much like a Mr. Bean moment of like pushing it out, seeing like a very poorly paved street, the wheel getting stuck almost immediately, and just like, yeah, just trying to get a wheel unstuck from between two ancient cobblestones. With the personal data of 1,600 people, 1,700 people.
Ugh. Apparently, this is like a thing in Japan. Like a lot of their official records and stuff are still stored physically. They don't have like stuff in digital, like hard drives and stuff, because there are a bunch of instances of this kind of thing happening. So. I guess in Tokyo a few years ago, they had a bunch of stuff on floppy disks and they like lost the floppy disks or something. And then those were gone. And then a guy in Hyogo Prefecture, another place in Japan, had a thumb drive with
a
bunch of stuff on it.
We talked about this on the show.
Yeah.
Right? Did we?
I think I talked about it with you on the show. Maybe it was.
Wow.
Josh, check Josh's flight records. Were you flying over to Japan and causing havoc?
I
love to go to Japan, steal several hundred people's identities at once, and then
from a drunk city employee, stealing his thumb drive. I do think, like, if I were, you know, an unscrupulous person who would do something like this, and I were perhaps trying to take valuables off of a drunk person, I would, when in doubt, I would take a thumb drive, because you never know.
Yeah, it's fun.
It might have some kind of mission. It might have the knock list on it, you know? Yeah. You don't know.
It's also, I mean, that would be pretty ingenious, you know, like social engineering hack is just get a thumb drive, put like a Trojan on it, and then pretend to be passed out near the Pentagon.
Like, right. Well, I'm gonna plug this Have in. Your like lanyard with your like, you know, intelligence clearance on it, and then have a thumb drive with a Trojan on it.
Yeah. Because you're going to get either the most exciting thing you've ever seen or the most boring, right?
Yeah.
There's no thumb drive with the equivalent of like, $56 in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right.
Could not care less about, or like the identifying tax information for like right. a million people.
Yeah. God, being like, not another screenplay. Struck out again.
Yeah, this is the classic. My screenplay.
Yeah. Oh, a PowerPoint about why you should switch brands of shoelaces for the athletic department of your college. Who cares?
Yeah. This is, or somehow both, where you're like, it's a spreadsheet, but one that still gets your door kicked in because it's got like, this is a very high clearance spreadsheet for you to have. You're like, I don't even have Excel. I can't open it. Like, give us that CSV.
That's we didn't even password protect it. Most people don't have Excel.
Yeah. Man, obviously, like, there's a lot of weird choices, you know, that, like, a YouTube algorithm makes. But I got one that really made me question it, where it started showing me PowerPoint tips. And I was like, who do you think I am? Like, what? Combined with everything else you're showing me, this is very strange.
This guy does PowerPoint. This guy does presentations, and he's not great at it.
They're sick of your the feds watching you are sick of your subpar presentations.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right.
They're tired of it.
I do like to just do a PowerPoint presentation on my own computer in case FBI is watching. Just be like, hello, agents.
Man, it is race such car a noise, nightmare.
Screen wipe.
gunshot sound.
It is such a nightmare when you like accidentally open a fucking PowerPoint file on your computer. It's just like, I have to just shut it down now and restart.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so many, all of a sudden, like, my computer basically freezes as it uses all of its bandwidth to open pages, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Excel, too. Excel is the same thing. It's like, I clicked this by accident, and now my computer is like launching an ancient program that I have never opened.
The computer makes, like, it makes a sound and takes an amount of time when you open up one of those. Like, you add, like, hey, can you go down in the basement and see if the Christmas yeah. lights are still down there? And it's just yeah. like,
yeah. it's gone, do more
like, leaves the room for 15 minutes.
Yeah, like, you know how, I don't know if you guys, like, remember those, like, but it used to be a thing when computers, like, made noise, where if you emptied a recycle bin, it made an actual sound of, like, yeah, stuff getting dumped. It should do, when I search something on my hard drive, it should sound like someone in an attic. It should just, I should hear like a yeah. lamp break. And like, the further into the hard drive it has to go.
Steps yeah. getting rummaging. Further away.
Yeah.
Rummaging.mp3 is what you'd be playing.
It's, was it, but,
speaking of people's jokes, I think it was Robert Dean that had the joke about lying about being proficient at PowerPoint because of one he made in middle school called Wolves.
Yeah.
About wolves.
Yeah. Very powerful. But I also like the thing, yeah, you're saying, like, you click on some type of document you haven't opened, and then immediately your computer is like, I'm installing the entire Office suite. And it's like,
yes.
No, stop. It's like,
I clearly didn't want to open this. Do not show me Excel spreadsheets ever.
Yeah, it's installing Skype again. Just keep installing Skype. God, they're trying to make Skype happen.
God, Skype just got left behind. Skype got Betamax
obliterated.
By Zoom.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's, and brutal. It's very similar to Zoom because it's just like it's because that's the thing. It was like DVD or VHS wasn't that good or whatever. But that's the same way with Zoom. People are like, we're using this, and everyone's like, it's bad. They're like, look,
dude, done. I think Skype was worse. Skype fucking sucked. Bad. It was. Yeah. I remember every time I used Skype, which would be like once every 8 months for like an interview with someone not in America, where they apparently used it more. It would
Justin.
Take me like half an hour because it'd be like, do you remember your MSN password? I was like, what the fuck? Why do I even have
works
this?
Works 15% yeah. of the time and unclear if it's free or not.
Yeah. Very unclear if it's free or not.
Yeah, getting hit with my monthly charge for Skype again.
Skype has that feel, even the music of like, are you stealing my identity right now?
Yeah, definitely the most suspect thing that is
I think owned by Microsoft, but they still, it's like Microsoft owns it, but also warns against installing it. Like it sets off their own antivirus. They're like, are you trying to install Skype?
You know, you just downloaded this from somewhere, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also like, that sort of thing comes in and it's like dialing in and then it's like, do you want to log in with your old MSN? And then all of a sudden you're on like a work interview, but with your MSN screen name from when you were 13 years old. Right.
Yeah. And it's just a picture of you with like doing finger guns at the camera, like,
You're like, well,
your avatar is your most prized Neopet. You're talking to some employer.
We'll keep you under consideration. Thank you, paranoid Super Saiyan. we will be in touch. Is this still the best way to reach
you? That is my Japanese language Radiohead cover band.
All right. We'll be doing an interview. If you could meet us in the market in RuneScape, that would be great.
Hey, you guys want to do this on FaceTime? Like, no, we're still a Skype company.
Yeah. Get in there. No. Hey, just log on to IRC. We're going to get in there, get in the channel. We're holding this. We're going to interview you in a weirdly sexual AOL chat room. It is supposed to be about One Piece, but there's a lot of people having sex in there. Just ignore that.
Age, sex, location, resume.
Yeah, the sexual One Piece. Age, sex, location, powers. What are your powers?
powers! Anime.
But yeah, to back to the this bumbling man in Japan, which is a delightful phrase.
So apparently nobody's like, if any of this stuff has been found, no one has used it to bad ends. It's just sort of been swept up on the breeze.
Yeah,
apparently it had like rent information and stuff. So like, I think it might have had bank accounts, but it seems like nobody is doing anything with it. So,
yeah, but it's also
that's
like,
good.
It's like a baby Fight Club situation now. They're like, their debts are cleared. Like nobody knows if they haven't paid rent. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone fraudulently paid my rent this month. Please return it to me.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck to them. Yeah. Good luck to them in IG prefecture. Japan, maybe get on the cloud.
Yeah.
Maybe give that a shot. I don't know.
Well, that's also
not
like,
that that's super secure either. So, yeah. Who knows?
It is, though, it is heartening sometimes with these lower stakes or lower scope things, right? To hear about that and then be like, I guess other places than America also do things wrong.
Right. Are also like kind of incompetent about stuff.
Yeah. Like, and I don't mean that as like a big conversation about like American empire, but I just mean like, oh, you have to tell the government how much you think you owe in taxes. And then you're like, that's stupid. And then you're like, well, in Japan, they just push people's housing information around in a folder.
Yeah. They just move.
That's a very good point.
It is a little comforting.
Yeah.
Except for those people.
They should just do both. That's the thing where it's like, I think hard copies are good to have.
Yes.
But then also have, it's like, it's always one or the other. It's like, just do both. It's just something where, you know, the bureaucracy is already fucked up enough. You don't need to worry about like cost cutting necessarily. It's like, you can just have both. It's okay to have a room full of files. It's probably good. Also, when there's a cold case, you know, the cool detective's going to go in there.
That's true. You got to get the file out for that. That's not as fun when it's clicking on a folder on your computer. But we should do number three.
Let's do it.
Number three.
Number three. This comes to us from Dr. Biologist in the Discord. A lot of good names today. We didn't give a Burlington Cheesecoat Factory its credit. That's a good name. So this is forbidden drink story, but even more... less magical than usual. This is a story about a... there was in a case study presented in Montreal about... this is in Denver. So there was a guy who was doing... there was an end-of-life celebration. Somebody that included, for obviously the person whose end-of-life it was supposed to be, an assisted suicide cocktail.
The Panera lemonade.
Yeah. The Panera is drinking 4 cups of Panera charged lemonade.
End of life celebration, charged lemonades.
It's a hell of a way to go out.
Very enthusiastic last few hours.
Yeah. get a lot of stuff done. He's like, all right.
You want to be awake and alert for your end of life celebration.
I'm going to have 4 Panera Charge lemonades. I'm going to knock out my will, and then I'm out. It's going to be all one.
Wait until after they drank the life ending beverage to do the will.
Yeah. Raise the stakes, you know? Make it a, you know, kind of a game for yourself.
It's so funny, too, because it's just like, well, if I don't finish, it all goes to my idiot son I hate. Yeah.
Look, based on my time management skills, that's how it's going to be for me. I'm going to be like trying to log into Google Docs from the hospital on the screen on like some monitor and be like, I got to change this. It still says it all goes to Goku. Did this when I was 10.
Why did they let me write a will when I was 8 years old? I had no assets.
I know you're supposed to have your last will and testament. They're still going by my first.
Yeah. All of my magic cards go to Goku. This is useless. I actually did not know that this was... It's not really a debate we need to get into, but I didn't know this was actually legal anywhere.
I didn't know you could do this in the U.S. I thought it was just Canada and a few other places. But I guess maybe under certain circumstances. This guy had terminal pancreatic cancer. So it's like, all right. If you want to have a party, sounds like a good idea.
So there, the drink was there. There's two people here. First of all, this can't be on the fucking kitchen island. Whatever this drink is, you can't have it out, all right? You just got to be in its own thing. So there's two people there.
Total?
What? No, that would be very sad.
I know. I would drink the suicide beverage so fast.
Kind of awkward.
If it was like half an hour late and only one person had showed up, I would be like, this is humiliating. Glug.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
I just showed up brutal. On time and was so embarrassed I drank the suicide beverage. So somebody took an unknown, they describe it as an unknown sized sip of the preparation. This is not the person who it's meant for. Somebody else took a sip and said it was bitter, which, yeah, I mean, I guess they could try to make it taste better.
This is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
I think the person who is supposed to drink it drank some, said it was bitter, and then another guy said, let me try. That's, I think, what happened.
Oh, okay. I'm confused because it says the patient, and I assumed it was the person who this was meant for, but as you'll find out from the story, another person became a patient because of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this person sipped it, described it as bitter, which, yeah, I'm sure it is because... You know, that's like an evolutionary thing. Stuff that kills you is usually like your body is
doesn't taste great.
Like, yeah. It would be bad if like butter was poisonous or whatever.
Stuff that kills you in the short term doesn't taste great. Stuff that kills you in the long term tastes incredible.
Excellent. Incredible stuff. Yeah.
All the best flavors.
Yeah. Very weird. Not the greatest choice if you want to go out on your own terms and you're like heart disease and they're like, okay. But
so my assisted suicide party is just a nice dinner. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's just bad shrimp. It's just
2 drinks a night at comedy shows several nights a week for 20 years.
Yeah. For my entire life.
Yeah. I've stopped going to the gym as part of my end of life program.
Look, I know I could see myself doing this by accident.
Curiosity
would get the better of you.
I don't even think someone would be like, oh, she's like, shit. And I'm the guy that's like, I gotta try it.
Yeah, whoa. Let me see.
And then I'd be like, you probably have to drink most of it to die.
Yeah.
Look. Right. They dosed it already. So, like, if I take a little sip, surely I will be okay.
If I just do like a cat, like,
yeah.
Yeah. You spit it out. As long as you don't swallow it, you know, you can gargle it and spit it back.
Yeah. You can taste just a little, dip your finger in.
Yeah. Yeah,
fine. But this guy apparently wasn't fine.
Yeah,
from what I understand,
or he would probably not being.
The friend wanted to sip, and so had. Yeah, they described it as an unknown sized sip of the preparation.
Sip. Give me a sip.
Unknown size too. Like that means he was like glug and then didn't want to admit it later.
Yeah, came out a little too fast. Shotgun.
This to me is like, I feel like this guy doing this is like
he waterfalled it.
That's a nice thing to do. Make sure it doesn't
get cold. He beer bonged it.
I've been a little sick. I shouldn't. yeah.
This to me is like getting engaged at someone else's wedding. It's like stop pulling focus, you know. now we're all worried about you, and this guy's like already drank it, so he's like, well, I can't reschedule this for another time.
Yeah.
His last moments are watching his friend be attended to by EMTs. Like, what an asshole.
This was my special day.
Yeah, it was.
So it is, so they, not only bitter, says the main person, the person who's intended to, took a swallow and said, man, that burns. And then this younger guy said, let me see, and then also took a swallow. And it is sort of what you were saying, where they both collapsed because this is a suicide juice. And then they showed up, like they called medics and EMTs, and they showed up and like they basically were like, and then they're like, you're not supposed to save him.
Don't like, hate this guy.
That would be such a hassle if you planned your end of life celebration and they pump your stomach and you're like, fuck, now we're going to mix up another batch of hemlock or whatever.
Yeah, it's hemlock.
I guess then you can redo it after that guy stole your special day. Yeah. So at least that would be nice. But it is like kind of was prepared for this to be
second end of life celebration.
I would like it to be a cool
turnout
potion.
Is lower. Like, it's a bummer.
Yeah,
like I'm not falling for this again.
I'm sure it's less pleasant, but I would like it to be, if I had to do this sort of thing, I'd love it to be like hemlock or nightshade, something cool.
Yeah, something that they
with a history to it.
Tried to take a Galileo or whatever.
Yeah.
Josh dipping his foot into history, but not the whole foot. Just like, you know.
Dipping a toe in.
The paramedic showed up, and then they started ventilating the younger man, who is not the one who was intended for. And then the people were like, he's supposed to die today, which is a crazy thing to say. I mean, they didn't say that word for word, but
it's also I feel so bad for everyone involved. Except for the guy that did it. He might feel less bad for the young guy. But, like, I feel so bad for the EMTs who show up and they're like, no, no, let that guy die. And, like, we don't do that just because you say so.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is what they did, because they said the attending paramedic directed rescuers to begin ventilating the younger man while requesting evidence of advance directives for the older man. So they were like, he's supposed to buy. And they're like, show us the fucking paperwork.
Yeah. Okay? Everybody says that.
Yeah. This is all a big cover-up, huh?
Don't save that guy's life. Like, you called 911. We save everyone's life that's dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you call 911, you're like, okay, how far back into this should I start explaining?
Yeah. And they've made a statement that they probably shouldn't have needed to make, which is that, you know, accidental ingestion should be rare, is a very funny thing for them to say, but that is what they said. And to our knowledge, has never been reported. And they just tell everybody, they're like, the stuff we put in there is enough by like a long shot, because they want to be sure. So they're like, basically they're saying,
right,
like, any amount is bad of the suicide cocktail.
Like, right. Well, if you're dosing medicine to keep people alive, you want to give them the minimum effective dose. If you're dosing them to kill them, all bets are off. You're not doing the minimum effective dose there. Why would you?
Yeah, what are you going to get, two dead? You're not,
unless
it's not,
you don't, yeah.
Eliminating
don't
side
cut
effects?
Costs. Don't cut costs here.
Yeah. There's no, you're like, oh, we killed his soul.
Well,
also,
that's the new, they have like McKinsey come in and they're like, well, you know, if you send them just the minimum dose and a hammer, that's actually going to save you a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah. Right. No, you send them the minimum dose and then you get their friend to stand behind them with a katana to cut their head off if it doesn't work.
Yeah, make sure it's over. It's like a zombie. It's just you do that and then a double tap just to be very sure.
Yeah.
So,
and then you have a friend drink some of the juice to make sure that it works and they're not faking.
Yeah.
They're not faking for attention. You have somebody test it. It's great.
Yeah, it's also funny to say they have here, the last thing I'll add here is that the oral protocol is not popular for several reasons. And it's they mean that because it's like not as effective as an intravenous, but it does sound like it just is not a popular drink, which is like, yeah,
right,
for sure. Yeah.
Sales are way down.
Yeah. Arnold Palmer, way more popular than the suicide drink.
Lemonade was a popular drink and it still is, said Gangstar.
Yeah.
Guru.
Though I don't know. My bodega, I wouldn't be totally surprised if they had a can of it. I'd be like,
they're selling like mushroom
weird
chocolate now. They'll get you suicide thing.
Yeah. It's do not if.
it's in a tab can.
Yeah. It's carbonated for
cracking
sure.
Cracking open a suicide one with the boys.
The coldest one of all time. Cracking myself into coldness. Into
at the end, you become the cold one.
Yeah. Cracking open the cold embrace of death. So yeah, don't. If you happen to be at one of these things, you don't. In fact, I would say separate table. Don't put any of the beers near that.
Don't pour it out into a big bowl full of ice. Don't make it bright red.
Yeah, don't put a bunch of straws in it.
Like a you need those little like wine glass charms. You know, the little like keychain thing where it's like mine is the mayor or whatever.
No, that's a good idea.
We going long?
Yeah, tear off the tab on the so you know it's yours.
Exactly. My high school girlfriend, she would always on a cola or whatever at a party turn her tab sideways.
Yeah.
And then she was like, that's how I know because nobody else is doing that. So at least do
that. Like that.
Yeah. That's what
at
I
at least do that.
They do like if you get a lot of bars are in Brooklyn, it's like, well, everyone's drinking the cheap beer, so you gotta market somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number two?
Number two.
Number two.
Number two comes to us from Bookmark 19 in the Discord. I have some great news about Antarctica. If anybody, this is one of the classic thing of you got to be rich to get rich because you could go get rich in Antarctica, but you got to get there, which is very expensive. So there's a wonderful money making opportunity down there, which is a volcano called Mount Erebus. It's the southernmost active volcano on Earth. And it is spewing tiny crystals of gold out, presumably in addition to lava.
Other stuff.
I'm guessing.
I saw someone in college a few times when we got our hands on a bottle of Goldschlager, and I saw some friends spew some tiny crystals of gold.
Going Mount Erebus.
Yeah, that's what this volcano
here.
Is doing. For sure.
That's every nickname for the rest of college. Like, yeah. Mount Erebus, what's up?
Yeah, I remember that popular myth that was like a thing that was like, if you, like, you know, sort out or like use a sieve and take out all the gold in a gold chug, it will pay for the next bottle. And it's like, no, it doesn't.
Absolutely, like it would not.
College town pawn shops.
Did
like,
you go to college in San Francisco in 1849?
Yes.
I majored in gold at Them There Hills University. would have been
go
exactly
the original school of hard knocks.
Yeah. Would have been exactly as useful as my real degree. So honestly, fine.
Got a degree in turning lead into gold.
Yeah, I studied alchemy.
You went to Alchemy State.
It's great. You don't even need to succeed to get an A. They're just like, well, nobody else has either. Yeah.
Thank you for trying. It. Yeah.
You're tied for best alchemist in history.
Yeah, you know it smelled crazy in the alchemy lab at college.
Yeah, you really do not want an alchemist roommate in college. Yeah. It's a real bummer.
Hey, man, can you take your homunculus back into your room? It smells fucking crazy. Look, dude, I know that for your final, you need a tiny flask filled with horse dung and sperm, but if you could just not have it in the common area, like that would be really good.
Coming in like... All right, who the fuck drank my potions?
Yeah, just everyone.
That can't go in the communal fridge, please. Mm-hmm. Even if it's labeled, you can't put that in the fridge.
Yeah, oh, but he can put his gefilte fish in? Okay, oh, it's anti-Semitism now.
Yeah,
my potions don't smell any worse than the gefilte fish.
Yeah, be like, who? All right,
who drank
it? When I was in
college, I lived with a guy who grew up on a horse farm in Wyoming, and one time there was this like weird mason jar of matter, and I was like, "What is that?" And he was like, "It's bear meat." I was like, "Okay,
it's good meat.
I guess that's fine."
Yeah,
in a jar.
In a jar, and like it was like preserved. It was like you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good eats.
Never saw him eat it. Don't know how you prepare it, but we had a jar of bear meat in our fridge. That was borderline. It didn't smell, but I was like, it's weird that it's in here for sure.
Yeah.
We did have a mason jar in our fridge once. Me and my older roommate. It was not Downstairs Dan that did this, but it was just like a very small amount of water in a mason jar. And so we were like cleaning out the fridge. We were like, what
is
this?
Drugs water?
It was acid. And we were like, okay, well, pop a label on there.
Yeah. That's one that
maybe
it's
a cap on there also.
Like it was open. Yeah. It was just evaporating. That's wild.
Man.
I lived with somebody who had an unlabeled plastic like Poland Spring of acid water in her fridge. Yeah. I was like, you gotta mark that is almost suicide juice level in terms of you know.
It also doesn't look weird enough for someone to be like, that's probably something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially,
I feel like the only reason I knew about it is because people who have drugs water, I feel like, are also the type of people to not label it.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like too much overlap between those.
Yeah, uh-huh. They need like an assistant.
Yeah, do not have the Microsoft Office suite and they download it on their laptop, the LSD folks. Yeah, man, I'm still thinking with the alchemy thing, being like, who drank my potion? And there's like all your roommates are sitting on the couch and one of them just has a golden arm. Like,
yeah. Not me. One of them is a werewolf now.
Yeah. All right. Well, your soul is trapped in a suit of armor, so it feels like you maybe messed with my stuff.
You just didn't notice. I got my soul trapped in a suit of armor over break.
Yeah, that was. We went to that. That's
for my internship.
Yeah,
my armory internship. Leave me alone.
So this thing's spraying out. What is it? It's 80 grams of gold a day.
$6,000 worth of gold a day. So probably not worth risking all the other stuff that happens when a volcano is erupting. But hey, 80 grams of gold a day coming out of this volcano.
They got to have a suit for that, right? Makes it okay?
Yeah, probably. I'm also, because it's a volcano, it's like in the air all around it, you know? Mm. So apparently scientists have found gold in the air from 621 miles away from the volcano.
Yeah.
So, wow.
You can go out there. It's also... truly belong, because there's like Antarctica has super weird rules where there's like no laws there. You're just you're controlled by the laws of wherever you came from.
What?
Like, that's like how, because there's so few people there. That's like
you're at such an advantage if you come from like Florida.
Yeah, I can do anything, man.
I'm from an open carry state, so I run shit now in Antarctica.
Right. Yeah. I'm the warlord of Antarctica now.
Yeah. You know, they had to figure out, because somebody got murdered there and they had to figure out, they're like, okay, how do we do this? Like, what? I think it was a guy, it was like people in a research station. It was like somebody spoiled a book and the guy stabbed him. It was a, you know, good kind of nuts down there in Antarctica. Up there, believe down there, not. Whatever.
I didn't know they had volcanoes.
Down.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, I mean, I guess this is the southernmost active volcano in the world. So I don't know how many they have down there, but I mean, Iceland is one. I guess they can technically be anywhere. But yeah, I think of them as, you know, Hawaii.
Yeah, we're all just trying to not say that we think it's weird that there can be a volcano in snow. You're like, how does it not melt? What?
It's hot. Yeah. Why is it around cold? What's going on?
Hot and cold mountain? No. No way. No.
Right. It does, though. But it feels like there's like, oh, yeah, it's near. It's you can tell that you're at the volcano in Antarctica because there's four palm trees on the continent. And it's right there.
Right.
Yeah. That one. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot of gold. People fucking love gold, dude. I feel like that's such a romantic.
Still.
That's the best way to get rich by far. Gold. Finding gold. Oh, yeah.
You think there's someone finding standing gold there is... like. Engagement ring is how many months' salary?
They have to at least check and make sure there's not a super villain down there. Like if fucking like German Krugerrands are shooting out of there, they're like, we're going in. There's might be a death ray down there. We got to check this out. Yeah, I don't know. Go down there with a butterfly net, see if I can get some nuggets, pick them up,
yeah,
turn them in. Yeah,
I feel like you should get more for them if they came from the south. The Antarctica volcano.
Yeah.
Like, that should be worth more than regular gold.
That's good gold.
Yeah.
Top
definitely.
Notch.
It's also, like, new gold, you know? Because it's from a volcano. So it's, like, a lot of other gold, it's, like, it's been around, you know?
Right. It's
this is brand new gold.
Uh-huh. Untainted.
Emerging from the Earth's core for the first time. Untainted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
You're advertising it. You've got a similar tone the way people advertise porn. Barely legal gold. Yeah.
This gold is fresh, untainted.
Amateur gold.
Yeah.
Earth can't handle explosion of gold.
It's true.
Gotta have documentation for this gold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Should we do number one before this goes any further?
Yes.
And this week's number one reason to say what a time to be alive.
This week's number one time to say, well, reason to say, God, I even blew that. This number one.
God, I am blueing it. Is that what you just
no,
said?
No, I said, God, I blew that. But God, I am blueing this. That's what I said during my PowerPoint. Me am blueing this.
We're rewatching Arrested Development right now, and it's tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
Holds up.
This is a good blue.
Comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube. And this is. This comes from like a kind of piece of false common wisdom or like something that goes around wives' tale-y sort of thing that I think did make sense in the past, but maybe is not as much now. The part of it, I don't know if you guys have ever heard, I've definitely like heard something to this effect, which is that if you get bitten by a snake, you're supposed to bring the snake to the hospital so that they know. What
it anti-venom. Would make sense. It would make sense.
Yeah.
But also, like, you could probably describe it. other ways.
Especially in a stressful situation, you'd be like, oh, it's long and skinny. Brown.
But, like, no legs. It's like, so I got bit by a snake, and now the clock's ticking, and I have to catch a snake.
Yeah.
It's like, they actually, you know that thing that's like red next to yellow friend of a fellow, red next to black friend of Jack or something?
Yeah.
They said that is such a confusing oh my God, don't clip that, please.
A demonic device.
Demonic device that it has hurt a lot of people because it's so difficult to remember the correct order that it makes people think that they know and they don't. And they're like, it would be better to just not go near snakes. Stop doing this stupid rhyme. And just if you see a snake... Red, black, yellow, don't fuck with it. Just leave it alone. Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, I know if it's a poisonous one, you're like, I'm going to steer clear, try to not have this bite me. But what are people doing when they're like, oh, is this one of those friendly ones? Hey, snake, you want to go get a couple drinks?
Yeah.
You want to play some pickleball, snake?
Yeah, it's not even like it's... It's not like it's one kills you and one likes to hang out.
Yeah, one's a good
like,
hang.
Like, snakes.
Yeah.
Neither like one of them are like cool, happy to see ya, you know?
It's people showing off. It's like if you're going to see one of these like a series of Instagram stories where someone's like, this mushroom looks similar to another poisonous mushroom, but it tastes like chicken. And then just like hospital stories. Like they're like, I was wrong.
This mushroom is bitter. Let me try.
Yeah. My assisted suicide mushroom, which is just the poison mushroom from Super Mario. It's just the purple one.
Yeah.
They mixed up my suicide mushroom, and now I'm twice as big. God.
I'm more alive than
ever.
Totally
the opposite of what I wanted. Yeah. Wanted there to be less of me. Now there's two times as much.
Yeah. The worst is it's accidentally a one-up mushroom, and you're like, I wanted to die. Now I have two lives. This is horrible. This could not
now I'm going to have to go meet a turtle.
Yeah. Now I'm a raccoon that can fly? What the fuck? They said... I've definitely heard that before. They are at this point saying we don't need that anymore.
Stop bringing us snakes.
Hey, yeah. The hospital, I brought this poisonous snake in you. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. They're saying we have tests now. Like we can test you and figure out what anti-venom you need. And that is exactly what happened where someone brought in, I'm trying to find exactly what snake it was. It was an Eastern brown snake. They seem to assume
there's
that
definitely
I have
another word in the name of that snake.
Yeah, they seem to assume that I have more snake knowledge than I do.
Eastern
it just says
brown. That sounds like a chicken.
Yeah, or it's like I gotta go drop off an Eastern brown in the conservatory.
Apparently, it is called that, and like that sucks because it's just like default model snake, like basic mod. No, it's what you start the video game with before you get any points.
Yeah, brown snake. Just trash filling your inventory.
Garbage.
Yeah, I mean, they should also have scarier, like, I always feel like water moccasin should have, like, a slightly scarier name for how poisonous it is.
That sounds scary to me.
That sounds like a shoe you wear in a boat.
It's an aqua sock.
thought I got bit by an aqua sock to the hospital in 3 minutes.
Like, I mean,
dead.
I know they're tight, but stop complaining. They keep you from getting cut by rocks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it makes it sound like it like sneaks up on you. Oh. It's like a moccasin. You can't hear it. You know.
It feels like a new shoe your uncle would show off at some sort of gathering. Like, I got water moccasins.
But it's like he's wearing them to like a barbecue and you're like, fucking clown.
Why do you have these?
Why are you in water? There's not even a lake.
Yeah. You're wearing those to go in our above ground pool? What? Who cares?
You're so weird.
Yeah, you're so weird. Yeah, well, it's the same uncle who wears like tactical shirts. You know, one of those ones. Like, if this gets wet, it dries in 35 minutes. It's like, okay, well,
why are you gonna get wet?
Yeah,
yeah.
Stop bringing old stamps as gifts for all the kids. They don't like old stamps. They don't respect the value.
Yeah. So that's what somebody did, was they brought an Eastern brown, which I guess is a very poisonous snake. They brought it in a lunchbox. It's in here. It's in like your classic sort of, you know, OXO looking
Coleman cooler.
Yeah. No, just like an OXO, like clip the sides down. It's not OXO.
Oh, brother.
For whatever legal reasons, I guess. We don't have Patty here, so I don't know what I'm allowed to say. We're in big trouble. So they were handed a plastic food container with a small Eastern brown snake peering at them from inside.
Peering at them?
Yeah.
The snake's like, when I get out of here, it's going to be a bloodbath in this hospital. You're going to need to bring in a new set of doctors.
Yeah. I mean, snakes do be peering at you. That's how they look, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like snakes aren't giving you the fucking nod. They are peering. They're not like the snake gave them all a little. Yeah,
the snake kind of winked.
Yeah. I got this dude bad. I fucked up this guy.
Check it out. Two little holes.
Yeah.
Classic snake shit.
Yeah. So here's a quote from somebody at the hospital. We want people to be able to get seen and assessed quickly, and having a live snake in the department slows that process.
It's true.
Sure does.
It's also like when you're in a hospital and someone brings a snake, where do you put the snake?
And like, what happens with you? So now the hospital is also in charge of killing the snake, which means someone has to like get close enough to the snake to give it suicide juice. What's happening here?
If you're the guy at the hospital that takes on killing the snake, you can do whatever you want. They're not going to ask questions.
I mean, it's the janitor.
However,
for
you
sure.
want to deal with it.
It's groundskeeper Willie shit. A
That's what I'm picturing. Yeah. Just like, hey, anybody ever wanted to murder a snake? No questions asked. Yeah.
No, so they got to feed the snake into the Sharps container at first. Like, oh, it's safe in there. You know, talk about like, you know, like intrusive thoughts. You know, you ever think about like, is the Sharps container there? And you're like, man, if I just slam my hand into one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
We have a Sharps container in my house, and I'm always kind of like eyeing it suspiciously.
Oh, yeah. Get in there. Root around. There's gold in there. You don't know.
They might be keeping something in there they don't want you to see. You know?
They meeting my wife.
Yeah. There might be a thumb drive in there.
Burner phone in your Sharps container.
Maris, do you have a secret thumb drive in the Sharps container?
And then it just becomes an argument because she's like, why are you going through my Sharps container?
That is truly, like, truly, if you're going through your partner's Sharps container because you think they're hiding something from you, that's just get the divorce. You are busted. You're done.
Yeah.
There's no shred
There's
of trust
SIM card
inside
in there,
you.
I'm telling you. Just keep looking.
It's a bunch of needles and a burner phone.
So this happens a lot here. This is at the Bundaberg Hospital in Australia, which, that's going to be a snake hot. That's basically
There's going to be snakes in there just already.
Snakes seeking treatment, snakes giving treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've had to relocate a lot of them. They have a snake catcher who relocates the snakes brought to the Bundaberg Hospital, which, you know, I guess so. That's one of those things.
At an American hospital, you would have to pay so much if they had to relocate your snake.
Snake
removal.
Fee.
Yeah. The medical really billing code for that.
It's not like $500 for an Advil where you're like, nobody's going to be like, I'll fucking get rid of it myself. I'll take it out.
I have it in my purse.
Yeah. Just throw it in the trash
can outside.
Oh,
I'll just get rid of my snake if I had known.
Yeah.
Grab it by the tail, swing it around, whip it into the woods.
Yeah. Hit it on a, you know, whip it around, hit it on a column. Here you go. You're done.
Yeah.
Boom. No snake.
Yeah, exactly.
That's free. I'll do it. Give me $20.
It would be fun to do that.
God, yeah.
I don't want to hurt animals, but whipping a snake around by its tail seems like it would be fun. Well,
I bet your adrenaline would just be coursing through your veins.
Have you never seen somebody like catch a rat in a bag? Because that's not great. You've never No, there's sometimes people catch a like a mouse or a rat, and then you realize, okay, well now what?
Yeah. But snake by the tail, and like again, like I said, wish no harm to snakes. But I bet you see those teeth and you hear the tail. In this scenario, it's a rattlesnake. So it's a rattling while you're swinging it around. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, fuck, I'm alive for the first time.
Yeah.
There was this like event. I wish I could remember the details of it. It was when I was working in TV in Austin. And there was this like event, this annual thing at the state capitol in Texas where they just like a guy just brought a bunch of snakes. It was like a maybe an environmental thing or something, but it was like just a pile of rattlesnakes in the middle of this like rotunda in the Texas state capitol, and we went to go cover it for the TV show I was working on, and I was like, you know, we were trying to like do bits and stuff, but I was like, I hate this, I don't want to go anywhere near these, why are they here, what is happening?
Rotunda is such a weirdly insulting name for a piece of architecture, I feel like.
Yeah?
Rotunda? Like, call me a gazebo, man. What the fuck?
I thought it was more like a big foyer, like an atrium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then go with atrium, you know? This atrium is pretty... I would say this atrium is pretty rotund, if you had to ask me.
A pro wrestler whose real name was Wyndham Rotunda, which someone pointed out sounds like a hotel chain and not... a man.
Yeah, that's the lobby of a hotel.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
that's a deluxe.
The Wyndham
suite.
Rotunda.
I'm in the Rotunda.
Like, oh, after 11, you have to swipe your card to get into the Wyndham Rotunda.
Yeah, well, we had, and then famous pod for Mike Rotundo, right? Isn't that a
Mike Rotundo? Yes. Yeah. A character from the past.
And then, so yeah, last bit of snake advice from our podcast that you should not consider. Just don't bother us if you follow this. It's not, I'm not endorsing this. I love when animals have this sort of thing going on where they say, if you get bit, one of the most important things is to stay calm. It's like, fuck.
All right, thanks.
You know?
Thank you.
Yeah, apparently if you freak out, the venom travels around the body faster, which is like,
okay, I'll
right.
just try to stop my heart from beating so fast after I've been bitten by a snake.
Yeah.
Give me one sip of suicide juice.
It'll calm me down to calm the nerves. Be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, just a little liquid courage. A
little liquid catatonic. Yeah.
Throw a little whiskey in the suicide juice so I can, you know, negotiate with Caron at the River Styx. Start.
Just the advice, like, that's always advice, right? It's never like, hey, if you cut off your thumb with an axe, freak out. That's going to make it better.
Yeah. It would be so funny. Somebody dying, like, shit-faced, trying to sneak stuff onto the scale, though, with, like, the feather of truth. Just trying to balance their heart when fucking whoever, Anubis or whoever does it, isn't looking. They're like, oh, you're back. Okay, did you put the sand on? You're not supposed to put sand on this side. It's got to be just your heart. I guess
I thought it was the heart and like whatever was in your pockets.
Yeah, I got changed.
So I thought you could put like a pen and like.
If you die with change in your pocket, yeah. If you die with change in your pockets, you have
I thought it was like the metal
forever.
Detector at the airport. I just put in my phone and my keys and my belt. I'm putting my belt on it.
Like, you can keep the belt on. You have pre-check. I don't know. It's different at every place.
Yeah, that's
always yelling at me.
A guy who died shit-faced in a plane crash, just handing St. Peter like all of his metal. He's trying to give him his laptop. He's like, look, stop. We have to talk to you about something.
Three 3-ounce containers of toiletries.
Yeah. Well, you're not allowed to bring fluids into heaven. You have to drink them at the gate. And,
Oh, no. I died holding my canister of suicide juice. Now I have to go to double heaven.
I'm in an endless loop. I'm trapped. Purgatory forever. I'm going to purgatory anyways because my last rites were performed by Father Justin, the AI fake priest.
You mean normal guy Justin, the normal guy.
Simple theologian Justin didn't give me good last rites. If you get bit by a snake, don't need to bring it to the hospital. Honestly, even knowing that, if I can bring it, I'm still going to bring it. Feels like it
I
won't
might bring
hurt.
It.
I would like to bring a snake that didn't even bite me to the hospital.
Yeah, just bring a snake.
Check out my snake. Hello, I'm here to show people my snake.
I just thought I'm kind of like Patch Adams, but a guy with a snake.
Yeah, cheer up.
That's
the kids.
What the Texas state capitol guy was like. It's like, why are you bringing your snakes here? Like, to give the gift of viewing a snake to terminally ill people.
I'm the snake guy. Patch Adams, they call me Fangs McGillicuddy. And I show snakes to sick children.
Yeah.
You say, seeing a snake is actually the best medicine. That's what people say.
That is it. Yeah. Yeah, the hospital has denied my last request to have a circus bear balance on a
Nobody
ball.
Nobody says
room.
That. It's like, well, you do all sorts of other experimental treatments. Right. You never try seeing a snake.
Can't hurt.
Get into that snake
Can't
trial.
Where, some of you have crystals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not weirder than a snake.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same.
It's the same. It's just less poisonous, which, you know, whatever. I'm willing to risk it. This might be crazy enough to work.
Anything. Look at all the things these people brought in that could kill you. And I'm prejudiced against because I brought a snake.
Yeah.
That guy's got a pocket knife. He's got powerful medicines.
Yeah. It's not like chemo's good for you either, you know?
Bringing your own self-described powerful medicines to the hospital.
You think a snake is like, I mean, on paper, it looks bad, but...
You get the old-timey doctor, you're waiting in a room, and he walks in with a wooden chest with just full of glass beakers rattling, and he's like, we're going to try a couple of these.
That's what I want modern medicine presented to me that way.
That would be
that
fun.
That I think would be fun. I think that would be good. I want, like, I don't want you to do the Nick stuff to me, but I want it to, like, look like the Nick, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, we're going to vaccinate you, but a leech is going to do it.
Yeah,
I think that'd be cool. I would like that.
Yeah, that's like, that was like a bit
just
almost that I was working on where I was just like, I think all medicine would work better if it was like bigger and scarier, you know? I just,
totally.
Just like psychosomatically, if it's in a huge syringe, I'd be like, wow.
It should be in a fogged glass vial.
Yeah, an MRI should look like a tilt-a-whirl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything. If you put electrodes on me, I feel like you're doing more. Just
totally.
Pop them on.
Completely.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mixing it up like, well, you guys probably haven't seen Fallout, but just like, this guy like mixes a serum out of, that's what I want. Lots of, taking a little bits of a lot of dusts and then mixing it in a small bottle and giving it to me.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I feel like you would get so much, people would be like dazzled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, it's basically snake oil. Look, if snake oil works, snake a real
oil?
Snake has to be twice as effective. They're
even
full of
think
oils.
About how much
the
oil is inside
oil.
This puppy.
Yeah, hold on while I oil this
with
snake.
Oils.
I'm extracting the oil from this snake.
I think snake oil is like what doesn't work.
Yeah.
But it makes
snake.
People feel better.
Yeah.
So, it's snake. You know, we got to give it a try.
Well, it's keeping this snake alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems to be working for the snake.
I've just got a rattlesnake latched onto my arm with its tail on one of the IV things. Just draining. We'll see how this works. Oh, man.
Gotta drain the lizard, and by that I mean introduce its venoms in through me intravenously.
Yeah.
Yeah, drape it over one of those like IV holder cart things.
Uh-huh.
Works great.
Yeah.
We should probably do plugs.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a weird segue. Like,
become a subscriber at patreon.com/whatatimepod for weekly bonus episodes and much more. And head to whatatimepod.com/links for our merch store, Discord, and more. Follow Patty, Kath, and Eli on Twitter and Instagram at Patty Moe, at Kath Barbadoro, and at Eli Uden. And check out Kath's other podcasts, Lie, Cheat, and Steal, about liars, frauds, thieves, and bullshitters, wherever you get your podcasts. Here's where you can see us doing stand-up this week.
Josh, what do you have to plug?
Oh, gosh. Excuse me. I have a stand-up special taping at Bell House in Brooklyn on June 21st. And there's still a few tickets left for the late show. And if you live other places in the country, I'm going to the Cincinnati area, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, Burlington, Vermont, Pawtucket, Rhode Island, Stamford, Connecticut, all over the place. So joshgondelman.com for all my info, and then joshgondelman.substack.com for my free newsletter that comes out every Monday.
Ooh.
Cool.
We got, I'll say, since we're both on it, both me and Kath are on the first, hopefully there'll be more, iteration of the Sick Ass Panther comedy show at the Red Baron Ink Tattoo and Piercing Shop on 14th Street. You can come. It's a very good lineup. We got Mark Little. We got Kath Barbadoro. We got Allison Leiby doing a long set. I wish I had the list of people in front of me. Lizzie Cassidy is also on it. God, it's worse to only forget one person. But let me tell you, whoever that is that I can't remember right now, very... Oh, Napoleon Emile. So come check that out. You can buy tickets at... if you go to my Instagram at Chili's Restaurants, you can get tickets there. It should be very fun. So check that out.
And the night before that, you can come to my show Paid Protest at 7:30 at Silo in Bushwick. It's my birthday, so please come or I will take it personally. It's a fundraiser for some NYC DSA endorsed candidates running for state office. Judah Freelander, Nicole Conlon, Zach Pugh, Naomi Caravani, Lawson Long, me, Anders Lee, Alex Patak. It's going to be really fun. Come to that.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks Josh.
Oh, thank you. This is such a pleasure, as always.
Bye, y'all.